know for me, this is such an important touchstone in my life, and so when I'm gone for 1 week, I have a tendency to feel it. But I do hope that you all had a great 4th of July and holiday weekend. So ever since I was a young boy, I've had these moments of self-reflection that usually occurred while standing in front of a mirror. Now, I'm not entirely sure that self-reflection is the proper term for it, especially at that age. You know, perhaps something more like silently judging myself is a better term. But these moments felt as though I was seeing myself through the lens of someone else. And what was being reflected back to me was not at all, well, at least not at most of the moments, how I saw myself. I would peer deep into that reflection to try to see the person that more resembled how I felt from the inside. And this, of course, changed over the years. When I was 6 or 7 years old and riding around the mountains on my Honda 50 motorcycle, I saw myself as Evel Knievel, courageous and daring, a performer without fear. But later that night, while brushing my teeth, I would look up into the mirror and see this little boy who couldn't ever get enough speed to get both tires off of that jump at the end of the driveway. And then when I was around 13 years old, my brother Mark and I moved with my mom to Tucson, and we lived very close to a couple military bases with all sorts of fighter jets and helicopters flying over our neighborhood. And I loved watching them and pretending that I was the pilot flying them. I would hop on my bicycle and ride around the neighborhood pretending to be in multiple dogfights with other fighter jets, narrowly escaping catastrophe and rescuing the beautiful girl being held hostage, and then riding off into the sunset with her on the back of my bicycle. But when I looked in the mirror again, I didn't see the confident, charismatic hero staring back at me. I saw a very shy and quiet boy who struggled to get up the courage just to even say hi to a girl. At various stages in my life, I would continue to have these self-reflecting moments, not always being confident in who I was. Even when I became a father, I had these reoccurring moments. Now, at this point, though, I was getting pretty good at not needing the mirror to kind of have these self-reflecting moments, and just kind of started to have these churning thoughts in my mind. I remember at the end of some days, I took my three little kids either climbing on a rock face or playing on the boulders next to a river or mountain biking down mountain trails that are covered in loose rocks and drop-offs. And I would lie in bed at night just sweating up a storm from the anxious thoughts of what could have gone wrong. I would tear into myself pretty good about how incredibly foolish I was. What kind of father am I taking on such risks with my kids? That's it. I'm sticking to trips to the library, parks, museums, and milkshakes. But then, of course, the very next day when the sun was just peeking up over the horizon, my kids would ask to go back to the river. I'll go rock climbing. And I would forget all about those night sweats and immediately respond with enthusiasm, excitement, like, heck yeah, let's go. But over the years, I learned to appreciate these moments of self-reflection and worked on not allowing them to be so negative. And instead use them for personal growth in my relationships as a father, a son, brother, husband, and colleague. And it has been useful and good to examine my thoughts, my actions, and my emotions to kind of help gain a deeper understanding of myself. Yet it still felt incomplete, somewhat lacking in deeper understanding. It wasn't until I sought a relationship with Christ and really started to peer into the truth and understanding of God's word that I started to feel that wholeness during these moments of self-reflection. All these images of what I thought I wanted to be were not the image of what God created me to be. Now, the creation story has always intrigued my imagination and curiosity. But it was also a bit of a struggle for me early on in my faith journey. But once I was able to understand the how and the when part of it, of the creation story, wasn't as important as the who part of it, I was able to open up my heart, my mind, and my soul to the significance of it. So after God creates the heavens and the earth, separates light from the darkness, and the sky from the water, and the land between the water, he fills the water and sky with life, and covers the land with vegetation, fruit, livestock, and wild animals, and saw that it was good. He then creates us. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now there is a lot to kind of unpack in the meaning and the significance of being created in the image of God in just these two verses. It has been thought about, written about, and discussed by a lot of people over a great amount of time. The depth of its meaning is interesting to dive into, but today I wanted to focus on just a few aspects of it. I think it is first important to note that being created in the image of God is unique to humanity. It is not shared with any other part of creation, which carries a lot of responsibility and a lot of meaningfulness. Our spiritual ability of being self-conscious, morally conscious, conscious of others, and conscious of God is unique to humans alone. We are created in God's image with unique qualities that reflect God's nature for a purpose. And it is God's purpose for each one of us. We are all created with inherent dignity, value, and potential with the responsibility to be stewards of his creation. We are given these abilities to care for the world as God's representatives in a relationship with him and others. We are working alongside of God and bringing goodness into this world. We are not alone in this endeavor, and God is not alone in this. And it's not that God needs us in what he is doing in this world, but rather that he wants us to participate with him. He created each one of us with potential and the ability to do good work and care for all of his creation alongside of him. This mutual participation for the love and care of his creation is described wonderfully by the theologian N.T. Wright in a video that John Stonecipher actually shared with me quite some time ago when we were discussing this topic. Wright talked about how when he was a young boy, he had been ill and had to remain in bed. And so that he didn't feel so isolated and alone, his mother lined up an angled mirror in the doorway of his room so that he could see her and other family members and that they could see him. He goes on to explain that it seems to me that God has put humans like an angled mirror in his world so that God can reflect his love and care and stewardship of the world through humans, and so that the rest of the world can praise the Creator through humans. Now, this is a really cool perspective in knowing that we were all created with the ability to receive God's love, then give that love out to one another and all of his creation, and then reflect that back to God through our praise. When we praise God, we are doing so as the representatives of the whole world, reflecting the rest of the world to God. The second important component to note in being created in the image of God is the understanding that we are all created in the image of God. It's not just a few of us, it's all of us. This is so important in the truth that every human life is sacred and valuable because each person reflects God's image. And this becomes the foundation for our moral behavior in treating others with respect, kindness, compassion, and love. Now, the difficulty in this understanding is that we have all missed the mark in our aim of living out God's purpose and for us. And not just recently, but pretty much from the get-go when God created Adam and Eve. After the fall, the image of God was now subject to sin in all of us. Now, there's definitely been moments in my life when I wish I had some construction paper or some sort of window tinting to kind of cover it up, that angled mirror, so God couldn't see what I was up to, but it was still open enough to receive God's grace and love. And part of the struggle with this is not just in our own sins, but seeing how others miss the mark and act in ways that make it difficult for us to see the image of God in them and to offer God's love and our own love for them. Instead of silently judging ourselves, we start to judge others. And this can easily become a bit negative in how we see others and lead to a negative view on God's creation and the good work he does through each one of us. Carl Jung wrote that everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Now, this is an idea that our reactions to others can be a powerful tool for self-reflection and repentance in our own behavior. And I like that this idea acknowledges that we often share similar struggles, feeling insecure, jealous, anxious or fearful, hurt or angry, or bitter and resentful. This idea offers a bit of relatability and understanding that we are all faced with the suffering of this world. In Romans 3, verses 23 and 24, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." And now this leads us to the third important aspect of being created in God's image. We have all been redeemed and renewed through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the complete human and true image bearer of God. He is the exact representation of God, the ruler over creation. Jesus is both the cause of our renewed image and the model we follow as we try to live that way. Instead of becoming negative in how we see others that can lead to a negative view on God's creation, that flawed image in humanity has been restored in Jesus. Our purpose in which God created for us continues in Christ. And we can pay close attention to how Jesus lived in the world, despite the suffering and sin that existed when he was here. In another letter from Paul, he writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." All those who are in Christ participate in the restored humanity that began at Jesus' resurrection. So if we are struggling with how we see ourselves, we can lean into our identity in Christ. If we are struggling with how we see others, we can lean into that everyone is offered grace through his redemption. If we are struggling with how God sees us and his purpose for each one of us, we can continue to follow Christ as renewed and restored representatives of God to all of creation. Now, this can be more easily said than done, so I want to offer a few practical ways that I read about and how we can participate in the restoration of humanity, reflecting God to the world and the world to God in our daily lives. First is to seek holiness. Consider an area in your life you want to see made more holy. Make a simple prayer in asking God for guidance and growing in holiness. Offer love. Think about someone in your life who is hard to love. Consider and pray about a small step that you might take toward loving that person, whether that is in your attitude, speech, or action. Offer encouragement. Is there someone you know who is feeling stuck or lacking in confidence and needs some extra encouragement? Ask God for opportunities to help encourage that person. Seek justice. Stand up for someone. Is there someone that you might be able to advocate for? How can you stand up for them in a practical way that demonstrates how Christ has advocated to you before God? Offer mercy. Rise early to see a sunrise, or stop what you're doing to see the sunset. As you watch the day begin or end, remember God's renewed faithfulness and mercy to you, and pray for someone towards whom you find it difficult to extend mercy. Offer grace. Is there a continued aim that you have taken in your life and have continued to miss the mark? Remember the hope you have in Christ. The same grace that God extended to you at salvation is available to you. Ask God for strength to help with taking better aim and to not give up. Be faithful. Consider someone with whom you haven't been true to your word. Pray and ask God to help you live honestly and faithfully in all things, imitating your Heavenly Father. Offer patience. Consider a circumstance or relationship that needs your patience. Pray about how you can abound in God's patience and thereby reflect the image of God to those around you. Be truthful. When you are tempted to choose your own personal truth, consider how Christ's truth conflicts with what you want to believe is true. Ask God to help you submit yourself to His trust for our good and His glory. Pray for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom for a specific situation or relationship, knowing that He freely grants His wisdom to those who ask. And lastly, surround yourself with those that the image of God is reflected so clearly and brightly. Those are loved ones whom you know do the good work daily alongside of God, utilizing their full potential in all of these qualities. So in closing, I'm going to jump back to what Robert read at the beginning of the service, as I think it provides a wonderful summary of being renewed and restored in the image of God through Christ and the good work that we all can do alongside of Him, reflecting God to the world and the world back to God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. As we go into a time of Eucharist, I invite the worship team to come back up. And if you are a guest with us today or new to the journey, the Eucharist is a sacred practice that we do each and every Sunday, and it is open to everyone who wants to participate. We welcome all to the table of thanksgiving. It is an opportunity to come together as a church and give in thanks to our God. As we head to the tables of thanks, take a moment to reflect about being created in the image of God and how we have this wonderful opportunity to participate with God our Father and being a blessing to others and providing an abundance of grace to those in need of it. Give thanks to God for the ultimate sacrifice Jesus made for us through His suffering and His death to redeem humanity in a renewed creation. Go to the tables in fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So take the bread in honor of Christ's body broken, and take the wine in honor of Christ's blood spilled, and bring them into your body in gratitude for the pouring of His Spirit that you have received from the one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The tables are open on either side of the room, and you may go when you are prepared. But first, would you please join me in prayer? God, we pray to you this morning, just so grateful for the opportunity to be together and to learn from one another. We pray together this morning in seeking your wisdom and encouragement and living out your creation and purpose in each one of us. We are so grateful to have this opportunity to know you to love you and to receive your love. We give thanks to you for the many blessings you have provided in our lives and for the amazing and good work you continue to do in this world. Let our praise reflect the enormous amount of love and grace you provide to all of us and to this world. Thank you for all your creation and the hope and the light of the world you offer. It's in your loving name, Christ, we pray. Amen.